1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at the first verse, this is the living word of the living God. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think less honorable, we treat with special honor. The parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Friends, according to Christ's own words, whenever the Christian church gathers to celebrate communion, the Lord's Supper, we are to do it remembering him. He is to be the primary focus as we come together around his table that he instituted the last Passover and the first Lord's Supper. But as we are called to remember Jesus, it would be an incomplete remembrance of him if we did not also at the same time remember his church and the reality and the blessing and the glory of the church of Jesus Christ. Paul could say in Ephesians 1:22, God placed all things under his feet, under Christ's feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. You see how integral the church is to the person and work of Jesus Christ. The church is the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And as we remember and think about the church of Christ, we can do that along the various ways that the church is presented in the Bible. And of course, one of those ways is mentioned there in Ephesians chapter 1, and also again in our passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it is the imagery, the picture, the metaphor that the church is the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. And I want to focus especially tonight on that summary kind of verse in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, where after all the teasing out and explaining of the imagery of the body, of a human body and the parts and how they work together and all, Paul comes to verse 27, he says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." You may remember in our study of Colossians, Paul's letter to the Colossians, we met the same word that Paul uses here in verse 27 in our study of Colossians chapter 3. It's that word part. In some versions, it's translated member, the way we speak of the members of our body. You remember Paul said, "Put to death, therefore," literally, "your members that are upon the earth." And we spent some time considering why Paul would refer to sin as a member of our body. But as we considered that use of the word, I was reminded of this great truth of the church being the body of Christ and each one part of it. Often in our day of the proliferation of denominations, the potential ease of traveling to any number of congregations on any given Sunday, along, I think, with an anti-authority mindset in our culture, the debate about church membership is very common and practical. You often engage people in this discussion of church membership. Is it important? What is it? What's the place of it? Is it needful? Is it necessary? I've had many of those discussions, many of them. And usually in those kinds of discussions with people about church membership, I've often conceded the point that people usually raise or often raise that the Bible doesn't speak about church membership explicitly. You know, people say, "Well, show me the chapter and verse that speaks of church membership." And I've conceded that point, but I've gone on to try to show how it is nonetheless assumed in the scriptures and didn't need to be said in so many words. Well, let me tell you, in the last number of weeks in coming back to scripture again, I will never do that again. I will never, never concede the point that church membership is not explicit in the Bible. I think it is still assumed in many ways, but I will never say again that it is not explicit. Listen again to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." We could easily translate, "and each one of you is a member of it." Church membership is explicit in the Bible. You are the body of Christ, and each one is a member of it. If the church is the body of Christ and you are a Christian, you are a member of it. You are a member, even more profoundly, of him. You see, what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, is church membership in its most vivid form. Don't we often just think about it in some kind of administrative, social dynamic kind of way? What an anemic way to think of what Paul is speaking of here. The reality of church membership. When Paul uses the word for a member of your body to speak of the membership that we have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ in his church, which is his body. And so, according to the scriptures, you can't be a Christian and not be a church member. Now, I realize that that needs to be unpacked because there are different ways that the word church is used in the Bible. People may respond and say, oh, yes, I am a member of Christ's body, but I don't need to be a member of your body, meaning your congregation or your denomination. Granted, we know that here in this congregation or in the RP church, we are not the whole church. Nor are we the only denomination in the visible church. We recognize that very clearly. But I would go on to ask someone who may speak that way, but where are you a member then? Are you a member anywhere? There is a distinction between the visible and invisible church that theologians have recognized. The church which professes Christ on earth, the visible church, and the church that is truly united to him by saving faith, the elect that will be the church in glory forever. But while we recognize the distinction between the visible and the invisible church, which we see in Scripture, that distinction can be abused by people. The visible and invisible church refer to one church. There are not two churches, but one, which has a visible and invisible aspect. The invisible church manifests itself visibly. You cannot consistently say that you are a member of the one, the invisible church, while rejecting membership in the other. The Bible has no place for that kind of thinking. We see that in many ways. Hebrews 13 is just one of them. Hebrews 13, 17, where the writer says to Christians, to the church, obey your leaders, submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. This is what every Christian is called to. You must have leaders. You must be under authority. You must have men who oversee you spiritually. This is assumed in a verse like that. And that happens, friends, not in the invisible church per se, but in the visible church. That's where that happens. Membership in the visible church as an expression of membership in the invisible church. I was so encouraged by the recent group meetings we had to discuss profession of faith with a good number of people and young people in this congregation. You know, baptized children, we believe, are members of the visible church. But that membership grows toward its intended end when there is that personal profession of faith in Christ. And so membership, church membership at the local level is a biblical given. It is a necessity. Any other situation, the thief on the cross often comes up, that's the exception. That's not the norm. And if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Bible does assume that you have a relationship, a membership in the visible church, somewhere. Somewhere where all the assumed commands and callings to Christians can be carried out. Church membership, being part of the body of Christ. But tonight I just want to highlight a very practical outworking of church membership. Church membership, being part of the body of Christ, is an ongoing, unceasing reality. We need to remember that. You are a member of the church not just on Sunday. You are a member of the church every other day of the week as well. You are a member of Christ, a member of the church, when you go to work, when you go to school, when you go to play soccer or hockey or whatever you do. You do that as a member of Christ, if you're part of the church. Today, people would say that church membership is a 24/7 reality. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you are a member of Christ, that is true for all of your life. But having said that, and it's important to remember that, having said that, the church expresses her body life in special ways on the Lord's Day. On Sunday especially, as the church gathers, the body that is the church, the members of the church, come together and do things together that are special, that are highlights of our week. We begin our week this way. In our worship, we worship other days of the week. We worship as individuals. We worship as families. But there's something very special about coming together on the Lord's Day as the body of Christ in a place and worshiping Him. We enjoy and celebrate the sacraments as the body of Christ together. That's special. It's unique. In our vows of church membership, here we promise to regularly attend the worship services and the appointed sacraments. That's a promise that is made in keeping with bodily membership. Kids, imagine this, if you can. Imagine someone saying, "Well, I'm going to church, but I'm leaving my legs at home." Have you ever heard something so ridiculous? "I'm going to church, but this Sunday I think I'll leave my legs at home." You don't do that, do you? You can't do that with your own body. But we remember what Paul says, the church is the body. And when it comes together, all of the parts should be together. And if they are not together, it's the exception rather than the norm. It is a strange thing. It is an unnatural thing for parts of the body to be left while the rest of the body goes and does other things. Doesn't that make sense? And so too with the church. But an even more particular practical aspect of church membership has been impressed on me lately. You know, I know there are many ways that preachers and that Christians can speak about church membership, can speak about attendance at worship and the sacraments that comes across as nothing more than a guilt trip and you're hounding people and what are you after me for? And I know there are circumstances and situations that need to be considered and taken seriously. I haven't been to every possible worship service in the course of my life on every Lord's Day that I may have been at. But I think there's something very wonderful and encouraging that flows out of what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about what church membership, being part of the body, is all about, that is a great encouragement for us to see the blessing of being gathered with the body as part of the body when she gathers together, especially on the Lord's Day. The practical aspect has to do with the Sabbath day and Sabbath worship and the focus of Paul's use of the body illustration in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul points out there in 1 Corinthians 12 not only the unity of the body, which is part of communion that we are to remember, 1 Corinthians 10:17, there is one loaf and we who are many are one body. We partake of one loaf. The unity of the church is part of what Paul is speaking about. But especially in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as Paul uses the metaphor of the body, it's in the context of the giftedness of the church, isn't it? That's the theme that runs throughout. And he uses the one body, many parts, as the foundation for teaching the reality of the varied giftedness of the people of God in the one body of Christ. And that's what I want to focus on tonight especially. Friends, ministry can happen and must happen every other day of the week. The interactions that we have with one another and with other people. But special ministry very often happens on God's special day, the Lord's Day. He's ordained it that way. There are special blessings and special opportunities that can only be had, I think, as the church gathers together. And God meets with his people according to his own command in holy worship. The word comes to us every day, the Bible, the scriptures, the word of God. But it comes to us especially as we gather together as the body of Christ in worship on the Lord's Day. We meet and minister to people every day, but God brings people to worship, often for special purposes. And we ought not to take that lightly or casually. Visitor to the church. Friends, God has brought someone to this place when a visitor comes to our church. And all of heaven and all of hell is watching, in a sense, of what God might be doing there. This is a very significant thing. We have to take a step back sometimes and realize what it is for someone to visit the church. They may have all sorts of reasons for doing it. We see above and beyond that. God has brought them here for a reason. This is a divine providence and a divine appointment for some reason that God has planned. We're a little group of people meeting in a room with no windows who sing songs that were written 3,000 years ago. What are people doing coming here? What are they doing coming here? But they're coming. And God brings people. It must be for something special. It must be. And I think that's the eyes we ought to have as we think about the people that God may be bringing to this place. Of course, the focus is the worship and the glory of God for us and for whoever comes. But as we come and worship and give glory to God, people at the same time are ministered to and blessed, both in the service of worship in many ways that we could go into, and also after worship and the fellowship that continues between the worship services, before and after the worship services. I hope our fellowship continues at all those times on the Lord's Day. Somehow, maybe sometimes you meet with people before worship. I don't know what you do. Maybe you do that to pray together about what's going to happen today. In between, I know that you do. After the Lord's Day worship in the evening. What a wonderful time to continue on and make the best use of this day that God has given us for fellowship and ministry. Many ways in which people are ministered to and blessed. Many and great ways as we gather together as the church. And friends, that ministry must be done by the body. That ministry must be done by the body. The minister, the elders, cannot do it all. We cannot do it all. Neither physically is it possible, nor, I think, is it appropriate spiritually that we do it all. I can't possibly speak to every visitor every time. You know, in early days, I sometimes think back when the congregation was small, I used to be able to speak to every family and every individual every Lord's Day. That stood out to me. What a blessing that was. Can't do it anymore. Doesn't mean there are new blessings, but it's different. It's just different. But I'm convinced even though physically I couldn't or the elders couldn't speak to every visitor every time or speak to everyone, I'm convinced also that we wouldn't necessarily be the best person to speak to everyone every time. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 1, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. That's a wonderful ministry verse. And there are ways that you will be able to minister to and comfort people in the congregation and people that will come through those doors in a way that I can't. Because you have gone through things that people coming through that door have gone through that maybe I haven't. And God has specially prepared you and your life to be a blessing to that person, that man or woman or boy or girl who's walking through those doors. You know, children, it may be much more of a blessing if there is a family that comes and visits this congregation and they have children your age. It may be much more of a blessing and much more used of God in those children's lives if you would go up to them and say, "Hi, my name is Johnny. What's your name?" Than if some old minister man comes up and pats them on the head and says, "Hello, welcome here to this place." You see what I mean? God has prepared us all for special ministry in the church. This is what Paul is getting at. There are eyes and ears and hands and feet, and the one can't say to the other, "Well, if I'm not a hand or a foot, then I'm not part of the body." You're all part of the body, and the whole body must be ministering. Paul says in Romans 15:14, "I am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct or to counsel one another." Paul is convinced of that. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." And the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." You know, lately it has struck me more than once, and in real situations, how God has prepared and enabled church members to minister to one another and to visitors in remarkable ways. It's been so clear that God in his providence has been dealing with you in a way that is perfectly, divinely, sovereignly tailored to minister to a particular need that arises or a particular person that comes to visit this place. That is just one reason, friends, why church attendance, I'm seeing more and more, is so important. We need every part of the body to be available and to be ready to minister to our congregation and to our community. Someone is sad or needs encouragement, and the church would like to give them a hug, but we've left our arms at home. Every part of the body has an important part to play in the ministry of this church. And it's exciting to see it. It's wonderful to see it. That's the way God has ordained it and arranged it. Now I know God is sovereign and God is gracious, and church attendance is in his providence as much as anything else. And God brings the people every Lord's Day that he brings. And we simply waste our time going down the what-if road. The people that come tonight are the people that God has brought here for this reason and this purpose. And God is gracious. We can't use this kind of line of thought to say, "Well, I would like to minister to this need that God has put right in front of me, but oh, the person that would really be able to minister to that need isn't here, so sorry." We have to believe that God is gracious and he's able to give us what we need in every circumstance. And if he brings people here, then the people that are here are able to minister by God's grace. But while those things are true, we have to remember we are governed by God's word and we are directed by it. And he says to not neglect the assembling together of ourselves so that we can encourage each other and spur one another on to love and good deeds, especially as we see the day approaching. And that is what we are called to. That is what we should strive after. We each have a part and a place in the body of Christ that we fill, that I fill, and that you fill, and that you fill, and you, and you, and you, each one. Speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Lord, you've made me a part of your body, the glorious body of Christ. I've got something to do in this world. I've got something to do in this church and in this congregation. Help me to do it. Help me to do it. Beloved, as we commune together tonight, in part at least, let's remember that you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a member of it.